to rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around.
Io's house in the middle of our street. Io's house in the middle of our...
Io's house. We're back. Absolutely electric win over Columbus and a heartbreaker against the Bruins. Before we talk Islanders hockey, we got to take care of some housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN, Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy, Jack at Isles Den. Follow the pod page at Isles House. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Hit the subscribe button, unsubscribe, then resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Check out this QR code. I got the finger pointing right if you're watching on YouTube for the store. Casa hats, there's sweatshirts, there's pucks, there's a bunch of fun stuff. Go ahead and support us if you enjoy the podcast. And, of course, subscribe to the Patreon. Again, if you're on YouTube, you see the link scrolling in the bar below, patreon.com/Isles House. Extra content, monthly access to the Discord, which the game day chat I can only describe as eccentric. I'll say that. So subscribe to the Patreon. And, of course, we're presented by the Rust and Gold in Huntington. New menu, new look, incredible food and atmosphere. If you're looking for a spot to watch the Islanders game, hit up the Rust and Gold. Promise you'll have a great time, and we'll be doing some stuff there later this season. Jack, take us away, Jackie Recaps.
Will do. So the last time we recorded, the Islanders just fell 6-2 to the Carolina Hurricanes in a pretty rough effort, and they followed that up with proving me wrong, because two of the people I blasted on that podcast were named Simon Holmstrom and Ilya Sorokin. And fittingly, the next night in Washington, Holmstrom makes a great play shorthanded. Pageau finishes it. The Islanders end up getting a pretty gritty win in DC on the second half of a back-to-back. And then Sunday afternoon, in dramatic fashion, they beat the Columbus Blue Jackets when they were down 2-1, just a few minutes to go. A little bit of karma on what maybe shouldn't have been called goaltender interference on a Columbus dagger, turned around with a Matthew Schaefer goal for his second of the night. We'll get to him in a little bit. And then Simon Holmstrom dives in for the clutch game-winning goal late in the game to make me
the what, Jack? Dumb. The what?
The game-winning goal, Ethan.
Did that goal fill you up?
That goal filled me up. Right. I got every single calorie out of
every
that one.
Every calorie. Jack needs a diet after the last two.
Every calorie. Games. I'm still full. I didn't know I was going to be able to record tonight, but similar demons plagued this team tonight. A 4-3 loss to the Boston Bruins when they were actually in front 3-2 late in the game. I don't know how late, but it felt like a late goal. Swayman wasn't on the bench or anything.
It was like 5 minutes left.
5 minutes to go. Yeah, just getting stuck in their own end. And we went to a shootout. It's like when this team goes to a shootout, you may as well not even watch most of the time, because they have won, what is it, 4 of their last 19 shootouts, Ethan?
Yeah, they've lost 15 of their last 19.
Lost 15 of their last 19 shootouts.
Don't quote me on that. Someone just replied to one of my tweets like 17 minutes ago with that stat, and it's one of those where I'm just going to be inclined to believe it.
Yeah. Well, there's been some positives. Cal Ritchie made his debut in DC. There's been some negatives, of course, but overall, a 2-0-1 stretch. We just happen to be recording this right after a loss, so how are you guys feeling?
Generally fine. Despite the 0-3 start and being pretty fully on team tank, you know, I'm just enjoying the ride at this point. Yeah, it's fun times for the Islanders. I think now that we've seen Patrick Waugh really double down on the youth, throwing Cal Ritchie right into the deep end, centering line 2, power play time, out there in key moments, along with Matthew Schaefer, you're rooting for them to be good. The Islanders haven't had two rookies like that caliber on the ice in how long?
A long time,
right? So, you know, you're rooting for the success. And if the pucks don't go our way, you get to that point in the season and the tune starts to change a little bit, that's fine. I'm sure we'll debate the merits of trading some folks on this roster. But I mean, generally, I think the Islanders are playing well. We've gotten two, say, back-to-back Sorokin games where I thought he looked really good. I can't really point to a single goal tonight against the Bruins that I put squarely on him. Got the weird bounce off of the Lee's foot, a wide open, who was it, Zaka?
Yep.
On a power play, and then Tony and Romy just doing what they do best, which is not playing defense on the third goal. So I thought he's played really well. Schaefer, otherworldly. The confidence is growing by the game. He had two just put the team on my back moments tonight against the Bruins where he realized I'm faster than pretty much everyone, and I'm just going to blow by you and try to take the puck right to the net and make a play. And he did that twice, I think, in the third period. And just watching that, like, you see the confidence in the skating in his own end and through the neutral zone and on the power play, but, like, that's man hockey right there. Just, like, I'm 6'2", and I can fly, and I'm going to make you try to keep up with me and add that to my repertoire and make defensemen scared of me when I'm coming up on the rush. It's unbelievable to watch. Another point tonight, and yeah, I mean, in terms of the positives, that Bo Horvat on pace for 56 goals, this is unprecedented for an Islanders forward. Not since, well, I mean, one season of Jason Blake and Mike Bossy. Like,
well, we go way back. It's not
maybe one season of Michael Grabner. Just like we don't get these kinds of goal scoring seasons from forwards very often. Yeah. And it's great. I mean, he's clicking with Barzal. That line works because Richie can center line too. So all around, like, the offense, I think, looks generally great. You obviously want Palmieri to start putting pucks in wide open nets. Drouin, I think we may have to have a conversation about his role on the team, mostly the lack of goal scoring and his presence on power play one. Cizikas, obviously nice to see Duclair chip in on, even though he's on the fourth line tonight. But yeah, I mean, overall, like, I think I've liked what I've seen. The system is working. They're playing high tempo, high pace hockey, and it's working for this group.
Is it working for the offense or just the offense or overall? Because I think
it's working overall.
I don't really agree with overall. I think the defense is still showing signs where it's just absolutely a mess.
Well, let me ask this.
Go ahead.
I think it's worked. I actually think they've defended a little bit better in the last few games, but there's one pairing right now that is just absolutely destroying them.
Well, hold on. Before we hone in on that pairing, though, I think Rocco's point is worth discussing.
Yeah.
So I was just saying, like, so we play this game with the defense, right? Where you try to press, you try to pinch, and they get caught sometimes, right? You saw a play that almost cost them the game at the end when – I forget who it was. Middlestat took the shot. I forget who fed him, but they just jumped the zone. They flew right out, and they went right by Pelican Pulock. So I still think the system is flawed. Not that it's a terrible system. It's just that the personnel we have doesn't perfectly fit it, if that makes sense. Like, the
Pelicans, no, I agree with you.
Pinching the way they're pinching, especially late in the game, because if they get caught, it gets a little scary. Like,
no, I agree with you.
That game regulation very easily.
That's a point that I've brought up a few times this season. But again, I have no problem with it, right?
Like, no, right now it's fine.
It works for a majority of this personnel. Like, it works for the Schaefer pairing.
Schaefer, of course.
But, like, all right. And honestly, like, that style should work for a Tony Romy pairing, because at least Tony, like, you're not gonna get good defense from Tony. Whether or not he's playing a stay-at-home style or if he's playing, you know, join the rush style. Like, you're going to get more positives from him if he's joining the rush. Pelik Pulock, yeah, fine, different story. Yeah. You just got to hold on and hope for the best most of the time. But, like, I'd rather them be playing this style, even with their defensive deficiencies, than playing more of a sit-back game.
Absolutely, because, first of all, it's fun. And what do we always say? If you're not going to win, at least be fun.
Yeah.
And to, like, Tony's the type of player, like, feast or famine with him, no matter what system he's in. We know that. That's just his game. It's going to be the way it is. So him, to me, it's not a big deal. That Pelak-Pulock pair, to me, it's a problem. Romanov, he has games where he looks okay, and then games where he just really hasn't.
He looks unplayable. He looks on.
I don't even think he's got games where he looks good. I think he's got games where he throws a big hit
or and doesn't hits. And yeah. maybe isn't a liability. Like I have a take here, and I keep seeing like people are just burying D'Angelo. Get D'Angelo away from Romanov. Romanov's the worst player on this team right now. He's worse than D'Angelo. Like D'Angelo actually is meant. His play style is meant for this system. And Romanov's supposed to kind of be the complement there that's competent defensively. This guy's out of position. He isn't winning any battles along the boards. And every time 28 is on the ice, it's somebody bailing him out or there's a scoring chance. Like there was when it was 3-2 Islanders and that pairing was on the ice, the Bruins almost tied it the first time. And then I was thinking, okay, like I hope Wah doesn't go back to them. And then we got the Pasternak line out there and the Bruins tie the game. And it's like, I'm not even surprised. And I'm just saying it's so easy to bury the guy that doesn't have the best reputation. But like, if you watch it from just like a objective hockey viewing perspective and knowing what both of their roles are, Romanov has been atrocious. And like, this isn't the 23-year-old with a $4 million cap hit anymore. This is $8 million they're paying him right now.
No,
eight years, $6
million. Yeah. 8 years, $6 million. Here's my problem, because, Jack, I agree with you. And Rocco, I was looking at our Isles House Dynasty roster today.
Oh, don't do that.
And I'm like, all right, like, Schaefer's here, fine. Pellick's not. Maybe Pellick gets moved at the deadline. Maybe he doesn't.
Probably not, honestly.
And Romanov is here for 8 years.
The left side is
like. So they couldn't even like you like. Oh, you're gonna bench Romanov after giving him that contract for Marshall Warren?
You have to.
It's not gonna happen. Like they're screwed.
So the only way you're getting out of this left side is if you move Pellick, which. To be quite honest, I don't know if that's happening this year. Because
if you move him this year, you're forcing Romanov into a second pair role.
Not only that, like you have to take a step out and look at the full picture here too. Because if you move Pellick, it's going to take a long time for the defense to recover. Say what you want about Pellick, but he still has some games where he plays really well defensively. So you take Pellick out of this equation, and you have a 18-year-old in Schaefer and a guy that's on an 8-year deal in Romanov that doesn't play the best defense. Suddenly that left side's in trouble and there's no right side to make up for it. There is no right side. Our right side is Bullock, Scotty Mayfield, and Tony D'Angelo. I mean, I haven't looked throughout all the teams, but it has to be one of the worst right sides in the league.
I'm looking at the analytics, the data dom scorecard from tonight's game.
And we aren't analytics guys. It's just the eyes tell you
Romanov
everything.
Romanov is dead last. He had a 32.4% shot attempt share percentage, which, I mean, in terms of Islanders defensemen, way lower than Tony's. I'm trying to find someone. Kyle McLean was lower. Casey Zizekas was lower. But in terms of defensemen, dead last. He had an on-ice net expected goal minus 0.82, the lowest of anyone in the game.
Here's the thing. I think the reality of the situation is, for the short term, this is the six. So yes. Maybe you try to switch it. Like, could we do a Pellick, Tony, Romanov, Pollock just to see if it works a little better? I know it's not the best offense-defense combinations, but I think you got to do something because
I think you just Romanov, stick with it.
But Romanov's Tony is bad.
It's like, bad, but like the, again, like we sort of knew this coming in. This,
but they also kind of had their moments together last season. Granted, Tony was better, and Romanov.
So you hold on for again. We constantly. I have to do this myself. We have to remind ourselves it's not about this year.
It's about evaluation.
When you're not going to separate Schaefer, Mayfield, Pellick, and Pollock work together. When that pairing's out there, you just hold on for dear life and pray for the best.
But the only one that's, you know, likely to be gone as a sure thing to be gone after the season is Tony, correct?
Yeah.
Well, that becomes the one spot where like, all right, we got to replace Tony. But the issue is when you replace Tony, it's got to be an impact guy because it's just not good enough all around with this D group. Spank. Yeah. It has to be.
I mean, you call up George or Warren to play their offside. I don't know.
Well, do you guys realize, like, I haven't thought about it till we start, like, really looking at it. If this team doesn't have a rookie defenseman who's catching records that set by Bobby Orr, this team would actually be the worst team in the NHL defensively. Yes. Like 100%.
Yes.
Without him, this looks, I mean, I don't even know who's playing if he's not here. It would be Warren or George, maybe, if they still trade.
Oh my God. it would be really, really bad. Like he scored what, two goals the other night, and like we're escaping against Columbus 3-2. Like, it's fun to watch and it's awesome that we have him, but like when you take a step back and look, my goodness, it's so rough, because Romanov's supposed to be a defensive guy, and the left side, Pelech is still good. But other than that, like there's just nothing, there's really not much you can do. And it's kind of crazy. It's just the downfall of Romanov. It's just kind of blown my mind. Like, this doesn't even look like someone, people keep telling me he might be injured. Like, I don't care. That's a problem too.
And he's always, and that's a problem too, Jack,
because he's hurt,
injury prone. And the other side of it too is we're full on that left side, and all we have coming up are left-handed guys. Aitchison, Warren, George, all left-handed. Those are the top three D prospects. After them, huge drop-off of who the next prospect, like who's the next prospect?
I still think there's a drop-off before them.
No, sure, but I'm just saying, like, those are the top three D prospects.
It's not good.
And after them, it's not great. We're really pigeonholing ourselves where we're going to have to find a way to land one or two right-handed D-men, which is not easy at all.
Man, you guys were right away when that Romanov contract was signed. You guys were like, what the fuck?
It's the length. It's the length. Like, I didn't even care about the AAV. It's the length. Why?
Rocco. There's two kind of contracts.
Yes.
What are they?
They are give your agent a raise or fire your agent. And Romanov
needs to give his agent a raise. Man. It's just one of those contracts. Like, generally, I have come around to the way that Darsh operated this offseason, but the two deals that he gave out to Palmieri and Romanov.
Don't count Palmieri's.
I didn't. Why?
Just because that was the final count. That and Boqvist were the final in the drawer contracts. I don't think we can count those.
We can, because he has final say.
Palmieri also, I get it with Palmieri. I would have rather traded him at the time. But it's a two-year deal. It's not going to be a backbreak. Like, Romanov's is more of a...
No, I agree. Just, like, it's the no move that kills me for Palmieri's first year, but whatever. That Romanov contract, it's one of those where you just sort of look around and you're like, who were you bidding against? No.
That you were bidding against the times. Like, just everyone started giving out these crazy deals. What did Gavrikov get in with the Rangers?
Seven and a half, eight.
Yeah. So, I mean, not that he's close to him, but that was.
I would much rather have Gavrikov.
Yeah, no shit. But it's just like, oh, he's the lesser version of that. So he gets this. It's all what the trend is.
All right.
We can move on.
Yeah. Romanov's disaster. Next topic.
The next topic's either back to the conversation, or we could start talking about our guy, Cal Ritchie.
Let's do Cal Ritchie first.
Ritchie has been, I think he's been pretty good. I thought tonight was probably the most quiet game, but what stands out to me is just his confidence. Like, he's not afraid to make a couple moves to create space, make some passes that you don't even know are there. I thought that's been impressive, and I'm kind of surprised he's been held pointless so far. I feel like the first two games, he definitely played like someone that just like found a way to earn a point. So the box score is a little deceiving for those first two, but I still think big things are on the way for him, and it's okay if that takes a little bit of time. We're talking about, what, a 20-year-old?
Yeah, and as we said, it's evaluation season. Perfect for him to play. I'm glad he got his time to come up. Jack, I thought what you said at the beginning is exactly what we should be talking about, just the confidence. Him and Schaefer, like, they just have the confidence that they're playing. Like, I'm just playing hockey. I'm just playing the sport I grew up loving.
They look like they belong.
Yeah, they look like they belong, and they look like they're just kind of going out there and having fun, to be honest. Like, just go play your game. That's the one thing about the Wah system I do like. I think he just tells these young guys, don't try to overdo it. Play your game. Richie had that really nice move, and then the pass in the slot to, I believe, Drouin. Was that last game or the previous? But there's just been a few moments where he just looks really good, and you see the flashes of talent. And tonight it was quiet. Like, I didn't notice him too much tonight, but he just has a knack of making a play almost every game, aside from tonight, to be quite honest. Whether it's a hands play, trying to walk a guy, or just a really nice pass. His first game, where he debuted for us too, those quick one-touch passes to the bumper on the power play, so nice. The quick puck movement. I see so much potential in this kid, and I really believe he's playing 2C right now, but I truly believe he's going to be our future 2C.
Yeah, I agree. The points will come. I don't love his line.
Who do you play with tonight again?
Palmieri and Drouin.
Yeah,
it's the problem, just because Palmieri, the scoring touch just hasn't been there.
Streaky.
Drouin's not a scorer. So, like, I don't know. I'll give it a few more games. I think really what's going to be exciting is when
Chabanov.
Yeah, Chabanov comes back and seeing what Wah does with the lineup there and who winds up getting mixed around in the middle six. I mean, it's not really controversial to say that Cal Ritchie's biggest contribution to the team so far has been that he is competent enough to play 2C and looks like he belongs, has allowed Matt Barzal to go back with Bo Horvat. And when we were sort of speculating during the call-up game, like, all right, Richie's up, what's going to happen? You know, all right, he's going to play center. Is he going to be 2C or 3C? I think the one thing I did get right about that was Duclair is going to get knocked back down to the fourth line to make room for the top six shuffle. But, you know, if I had to put on a grade on it, probably B minus, which is not, like, bad.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it's fair. Just big things ahead for him. With the, I don't know if I agree or disagree with his line mates right now, because Palmieri, in theory, should be able to finish, and it's also kind of hard because the third line is kind of rolling, the first line's kind of rolling. So I don't really know what you can do there, but you can tell Duclair's desperate to get off that fourth line because the energy and the effort is there. The goal scoring from the turnaround shot, because they really struggle with zone time. Like, they were right there. He's like, fuck it, I'm just putting this on net, and he scored. So that was nice to see. I don't know what's going to happen with that fourth line, though.
Yeah, it's just – I mean, Chabanov's obviously going to go right back in when he's healthy, and – who played tonight that would come out? McLean, right?
I think so.
McLean would likely come out. Sip probably stays out, which is a whole nother thing. I don't know if we need to get into that, but Sip is just the odd man out for what seems like forever. I don't know. It just seems like it's not going to work under this coach, to be honest. Sorry, Jack.
I'd put him in for McLean.
I'd put him in for McLean too, but it just seems like we talk about the system. You want to talk about someone that just maybe doesn't fit the system. It's him. He's not the fastest guy in the world. He's a big dude, but he just can't really get around like that. He's almost, to me, at this point, like a much lesser Lee.
Yeah.
Just want a big body in front, maybe hit a couple guys, but I don't know. He just was not crazy about him. That much is clear.
I'll be honest. I don't even care that he's out of the lineup right now, because I know when he comes back, they're going to put him with Cizikas, and they're going to act like they're giving him a chance. And your that honestly... That annoys me more than him being out of the lineup. Just don't play him. Don't put him with Cizikas. Don't ruin the guy's career.
That's what they're doing.
Just trade him.
The craziest part is that this guy almost went to arbitration this summer.
Yeah.
They've just disrespected the hell out of this guy from the start. He was one of your leaders in 5-on-5 points last year. It's just a disaster, that situation.
I mean, sorry, like, not to just beat a dead horse, but to beat a dead horse, like, Taylor Hall taking what he took from Carolina versus what Palmieri got from the Islanders, plus the Romanov contract, plus almost going to arbitration with a guy who's probably not even going to be on the team come deadline time. I mean, that's just bad look.
I think you're over-criticizing. The arbitration thing isn't that big of a deal to me. Happens.
I mean, the fact that, I mean, we're giving away millions to play. I know it's not like $3, $4, $5 million, but like giving away millions to players who were just like after eight games he's played or six Ooh. Games. Ooh. Siplikov.
Yeah, but Siplikov, he's going to arbitrate. That's why they almost went to arbitration, because Darsh was playing hardball with him.
Right, but they agreed on 2.5.
It's 1 year, isn't it?
No, it's two, I thought.
It's one. 1 year.
All right, whatever.
I'm pretty sure it's 1 year.
It was a bad 1 year deal, Ethan.
All right, easy to move.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he'll be traded probably within the next few weeks, because I just don't know what good it has to have him playing with those players or just sitting in the press box. It's
yeah. And on it, you know what? Not trying to judge here, but it might be just be one of the things where if it doesn't work out here, he just goes back to the K.
Maybe.
It doesn't, like, he has that option after this 1 year deal. He's going to be free. He could just go sign back. Or you want to stay here, and then it's probably going to have to work out somewhere else. I'm not, no intel here. I'm not saying he has, but if he does ask for a trade soon, I don't find anything wrong with that.
Me neither.
Because he's not playing. And there's too many, for the first time in forever, we have too many forwards.
Yeah.
Any other year, I feel like Siplikov's in the lineup easy. This year, it's just a ton of guys. And you got to play, and you got a young guy in Cal Ritchie that you now have to play. So not too many spots.
Yeah. It's just like hilarious to me, though, how there's questions on if Lee's going to be here. Like, you know who, like, we know who like 75% of these players are, and we don't know who this player is who just had almost a half point per game pace. And that's the guy that we're like, no. Nope, we need to scratch him, even though there's a good chance that if he did have a good season, he'd be a good piece to the future here. So it just makes negative.
We say, like, we need to see what he's got. We need to see what he's got. But, like, these guys also see him every day in practice. They see how he is in preparation and whatnot. So maybe
that is fair.
Maybe there's something there that they're seeing that they're not loving. Like, we don't know. I'm not trying to create drama here, but there's could be a lot going on the side that we don't know.
That is an exact comment my dad would make, I will say.
So, the OG Big Save Dave. I'm mentioning the same sentence as him.
I think we should move to Schaefer and the conversation. Yep. Get some positivity going.
The conversation. What more is there to say?
Well, the fact that we're getting Bobby Orr mentions and records. I mean, this just goes to show that a month ago when you were beating this down, nobody should have been afraid.
No one should have been afraid. What are the Norris odds? Let's have that conversation.
Ooh, I'll check those.
In the meantime, Jack, I believe, what was the record that youngest defenseman to score two goals in a game?
Yeah.
He beat that with Bobby Orr. So it brought up a lot of discussion in the Discord about what's a comparable season to this. Because with D-men, there's so few that actually come up and play at 18. So I went through some of the really good first full rookie seasons of players. Some recent, some historical. So just last year, we got little Lane Hutson, 82 games played, 6 goals, 60 assists. He started the season at 20 years old. Solid, 2 years older than Schaefer, also plays zero defense and is tidy. Owen Power started his first full rookie season at 19, 79 games played, 4 goals, 31 assists. I think we all would agree that Schaefer's rookie year should go well beyond that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rasmus Dahlin began his season at 18, 9 goals, 35 assists. Now, Dahlin's really, really good. I'm a big fan of the player, but I just think Schaefer has way more offensive upside.
Easily.
And same age, I got to give Dahlin credit, though. He was 18. Quinn Hughes, 19 years old at the beginning of his first full season, 68 games played, 8 goals, 45 assists. Pretty solid, but
it's real solid.
I think Schaefer could pass that. I really do. Zach Werenski, 19 years old at the start of his first full season, 78 games played, 11 goals, 36 assists. Very solid. Again, full year older than Schaefer, played a year of college, much like Quinn Hughes, so a little bit further. Kale McCarr, first full season, he was 21. He did 2 years at UMass, one playing with Johnny Laz. 57 games played, 12 goals, 38 assists. I mean, monstrous numbers, but this is kind of the guy we now see as the potential comp when it comes to Schaefer. Like, to me, if someone that doesn't follow hockey closely asks me, who is this guy most like? And who do you hope he's going to be that currently plays? It's Cale Makar.
Cale Makar.
Okay. Now let's go to the more historical. Dennis Bopin, 20 years old at his first. I thought he was younger when he started, but he was 20. 77 games played, 17 goals, 37 assists. A lot of goals, but
a lot of goals.
Phil Housley, 18 years old, first full season, 77 games played, 19 goals, 47 assists. Very, very good. Very impressive. Bobby Orr, 18 years old, in his first full season, 61 games played, 13 goals, 28 assists. These are all either Hall of Famers, some Hall of Famers to be, and at the very least, All-Stars, Calder winners. He's in the conversation, if not beyond, with all of them. So, I mean, this guy's amazing, and we're so lucky.
We really are.
That we won the lottery. And I say this basically every week now. If this kid had played a full season last year, it would have been so much bigger of a deal when we won the lottery.
Yeah.
Because it would truly be the Schaefer draft.
Yeah.
Mises is going to be good. I like Higgins as a player. You know, Frondell will be solid, but this is the Schaefer draft.
It's a heist.
100%. And to answer your question, Ethan, for the Norris Trophy odds, so he's still plus 10,000, but I just want to mention a few names that he's above. He's above Miro Heiskanen, Jacob Slavin, Charlie McAvoy, and guess the fourth one.
Adam Fox.
Noah Dobson.
Oh yeah. No, I saw Noah Dobson was like plus 15,000.
Yeah.
Well, Makar is also on pace for like 100 points, right?
That's crazy. Are you serious?
I could be wrong. At the very beginning, I think he was just on fire.
I'll try to check something else.
Let's check. Hold on. Cale Makar. Jesus Christ.
What do you got?
18 points in 13 games plus 12.
Stack team, too. That always helps.
Yeah, of course.
You got Brock Nelson as his 3C.
All right. Maybe not the Norris, but definitely the Calder.
Yeah, maybe or, just the Calder.
You gotta respect Ethan's doppelganger here.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he's on pace for like an Erik Karlsson season while being really good at defense.
Right. Well, that's the thing we got to give to Schaefer too. Like, did he get what game was it that he got walked a couple times? The ESPN game.
Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina. He got walked a couple times, but that was just a disgusting game all around from us. Other than that game, I don't see him get beat too often, to be quite honest with you. Like, he plays really solid defense for his age.
If you look
at the cards, you look at the data, I'm sure Data Dom could pull up some of these after the episode for us that we could post. But the defensive numbers are not bad. They're not elite, but
they look very good, though.
No, they're pretty good.
They're close to elite.
Like, his offense is elite. His offense is in the 90s. And then I want to say his defense is maybe in the 60s, right?
No,
there's multiple times. Right? Yeah, there's multiple times defensively where I just see
you might be right. It was after Jack.
You're good.
October 31st, Jay Fresh card had EV defense at 59%.
That was Carolina might have dropped
10%. It's higher now.
Yeah.
I could actually get his card up.
Okay, here we go. Here's one from November 3rd, EV defense 67%.
Yep, 67%.
It's still early, so it jumps a lot, but still, that's so impressive.
It's bananas.
There's some times when the other team's in the zone and this team is just doing what they're doing, and he's like, screw it. I'm just going to skate everywhere the puck goes, and it's insane. Like, he breaks up plays all by
himself.
Greg
Jennings put the team on my fucking back.
Yeah, he really does that on a nightly basis, and it's just – yeah, it's just a shame. It's just tough that they have a pairing that, like, it is a liability every time they're on the ice. But you just hope that changes.
It's not going to change. You just have to hold on for dear life. They are what they are.
They're a roller coaster.
Yeah.
All right. Pajot Lee. Here's the problem, because we're going to talk trade, and you're going to leave my boy Simon homeless.
Because
that's been the best line consistently.
Simon homeless.
Yeah, Simon homeless. That's good. That'll be the episode name once they train these guys.
Simon Hall.
I trade Pajot, I keep Lee.
I mean, Ethan, I'm surprised you said, is it one or the other, or it's just total? Like, total.
Total.
Like, I'm shocked you wouldn't move Lee.
Yeah, me too. Ask me again in a week.
I mean, it depends where we are. Like, Pajot's an automatic move for me. I've discussed this. We have his replacement in-house. We have Cal Ritchie. If Pajot goes, we could go back to the three centers. I know a lot of people are going to want to leave Barzal with Horvat. Maybe you figure something out. You still could, but I think Pajot.
Keep in mind, though, like Shabanov comes back.
Right. No,
you cross your fingers. You get a few games of Yzerman, and maybe Yzerman's here next year. Maybe he's in Bridgeport. Who knows?
No, yeah, I'm not worried about long term. I'm just saying the rest of the world. Like, if you're somewhat in it and moving Pajot, that's an easy fix. If you're somewhat in it and you move Pajot and Lee, that's a lot to take off a team that's trying to fight. And again, I've been saying since the beginning, eval year, be a perfect scenario for them to land.
Like, if Lee wants to get traded and then come back.
Perfect.
Sure.
But I think that's something you do. You approach him.
Yeah. Lee,
if you want to stay and be the captain another couple years, you got to take a big time haircut. You're not getting 7-8 mil. Like, he could, whatever you get on the free agent market or expecting there, you have to take less to stay here. If you don't want to, that's fine. The Rangers have approached Panarin with that same scenario. Like, if you want to stay, you can. Got to be less money.
Yeah, but Panarin's a scumbag, so he's just going to go take the most money.
He's going to take the most money. But Lee's a captain, loyal.
What a piece of shit that guy is.
Anyway, nobody – we're not doing the list tonight.
I mean, look at the rap sheet. He's got elder abuse. He's got other kinds of abuse. He's got just not a good guy.
Might not be a good guy. Anyway, Pajot definite gone for me. I know Jack's going to say different, but Pajot, I think from an asset management perspective, I think you'll get a great return. You move him. And then Lee's like the seesaw. Ethan said, ask me next week.
Yeah.
We'll see. We got to see where we're – if we're totally out of it, you got to move him. But if we're in, you approach him, try to get a sweetheart deal.
Yep.
The issue I have is – the title shouldn't belong to Eric Cairns. JG Pajot is the director of player development on this team.
Oh, Jack, clip it. That's a fucking bar.
I'm just saying, like, you throw Shabanov with him, you throw Holmstrom with him, you throw every single person, every single player that is struggling to find their game, to find their production, you just throw them with Pajot and magically they all look better. What does the team have too much of? They have too many wingers. What do they not have an abundance of at this time? Centers. And yes, in a perfect world, I actually agree. Pajot getting traded right now makes so much sense. And a very rational case is still there to definitely trade him. I know I'm in the minority. I'm not acting like it's a no-brainer, but, you know, he's actually more valuable than I realized, especially this year. And it really opened my eyes when I saw Holmstrom have a tough start to the year. Now he's flying around. You saw Shabanov look a little lost during preseason, the first couple games. Yep, throw him with Pajot. Suddenly the guy is looking really good. So
what part of the reason why I was insistent they weren't going to trade him in the offseason?
Jack, you want to re-sign him?
So thank you for asking me that, because I do have to finish my point. You have to move Cizikas if you're going to keep Pajot. There's no rational world where I can say keep both. And it's because one of them is good and one of them is valuable and the other one isn't. One of them makes their teammates better and one doesn't. Like, the players who are struggling most on the team play with Cizikas. The players that are flourishing and playing better, they're playing next to Pajot, and it's easy to see why.
Pajot, what are you giving Pajot to be your 4C?
What am I giving him? Well, with the new salary, can I give you like an old cap hit? Because I don't really know the values of these new contracts. Like, his current cap hit being 5.5, I'd give him $3 million for 3 years.
I don't think he's taking that.
You don't think so? What about 3.5? I'll negotiate with you, JG.
I think he's gonna kind of get stupid money, because
he's gonna get six.
Listen. What I think is gonna happen because of everything you just said, right? Director of player personnel or whatever the hell you just called him.
Yeah.
Think of a young team like a San Jose or a Chicago or someone like that who just has miles and miles and miles of cap room and don't care how the cap looks in 3 years because they're not going to be close to the ceiling yet. Why wouldn't you throw him $5 million?
If someone's going to throw him a bag like that, you know what? Then I would try to negotiate with him before the deadline, because I agree. You don't throw him more. What he's making right now is the absolute, like, I even think that's too much if you want him to be your fourth line center. That being said, he still could be your third for a year or two. And then Danny Nelson's going to come up. It really all comes down to they need to make a decision between 44 and 53. And I'm asking a lot here because I'm already – I haven't even gotten to Lee yet. But he should 100% be traded. And the reason I say this is not because I want him to be – like, if in a perfect world, he can retire here and he can play all his games here. But first of all, nonstop with the new era stuff as we started this season. And like, we need to keep it moving here. This is the healthy way to do it. And as I said last year with Brock Nelson, why I don't care if Lee has 235 goal seasons left and we trade him. Like, it's okay sometimes to let the player go out on a high note instead of watching him like we did with Bailey. Like, it's okay to let him go a few years, maybe a year or two early, get all of the assets that, like Cal Ritchie is right now, are going to help you down the line. He's so valuable to like a playoff team right now, the way he wins battles and showing, you know what I always questioned about Lee a few years ago, I wasn't sure he could play like these third line minutes and still be effective. He's doing it. Just get him a good center and he'll go to work, put him on your power play in the second unit. The guy's still going to be productive. So I think playoff teams, like I think a team like the Florida Panthers would really love Anders Lee. He fits the physical part. He fits the size, like the toughness of their team. And I get it. It's tough to trade your captain, but.
Or if there's like a young team out there that makes a run and they want the intangibles too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying. Like if the Ducks can squeak in or are close, that's a perfect team for these type of guys. Like that's from an Islanders perspective, that's who you look to deal with too, because the pick you get's going to be a little higher.
Or you get a prospect. They got deep prospect pools.
Yeah, but Jack, I understand your perspective on the Cizikas versus Pagiot side too, but one thing you have to weigh in that argument of strictly just Cizikas versus Pagiot is the potential return, because the potential return of Cizikas is at best a late round pick, and the potential return of Pagiot is a first round pick plus, I would say.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of look at it the way I said it with Pagiot and being the director of player development. Like, I actually look at it like that. Younger players will play better with Pagiot, and keeping him does have a value that, like, you kind of can't put it. It's not about like the salary cap or anything, but I see real help from keeping him on the roster. I don't see it with 53. Of course, I see it with 27, but at a certain point, like, that's when the assets need to be cashed in. You have to get at least one, like they did last year with Palmieri and Nelson. You got to get at least one.
Yeah. And I don't think it's cashing in the assets, as well as we're just going to have to create some roster spots here. I mean, you already look at the forward group and we're struggling with Siblikov in the game because we have so many forwards. Like, when you have the guys like Yzerman, Danny Nelson, Finley coming up, beyond that, you have guys like Eklund, maybe some others. And I'm not saying they're going to make it right away, but eventually you have to give these guys true shots, right? So if you have the same group that's proven time and time again they're not good enough, we're really not moving in either direction, which to me is sort of unacceptable, which is why I feel Pagiot has to go. Because to me, there's no world in which I feel they should re-sign Pagiot. Good player, but I think his time has sort of run out here. Mid-30s, as Ethan loves to say, due for regression. So
it's going
to
be 33 in a week.
Right. So 33, you'd be signing him for 34, 35, 36. We know what happens in those years.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Let that be someone else's problem and cash it. I think you're going to get a first plus, maybe a really good prospect, whatever you get. Thank you, JG, but I just think it's time.
We'll need new director.
Yeah. We do need a new director.
We'll be the director, Jack.
New player development guy, but we should get to the Q&A.
Let's get to the questions, yeah.
I'll read them off.
Question submitted by our Patreon subscribers via our Discord channel. Subscribe. Jack.
Robert, who would you put on Cal Ritchie's wing to get some production going? I feel like he's setting up a ton of chances that aren't getting finished. Thanks.
Holmstrom.
Shabanov when he's back.
Yeah, Shabanov when he's back. Holmstrom right now.
Holmstrom and who? Who goes on the other flank?
I'd keep Drouin there.
Yeah, I like Drouin.
I would bump Palmieri down.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
This is kind of tricky because Drouin's not a goal scorer, right?
And no.
So you're kind of asking Holmstrom to net everything on that line, which is kind of tough. Like, I like the way they have it set up. I think I'd do the opposite of what you're saying. And I would want Holmstrom on the wing with Palmieri. And just because I feel like Holmstrom could win battles and win possession, Ritchie can set it up. And Palmieri gets going. I don't really see much of a solution.
What about Lee up with him? Like, put that playmaker Drouin type on one side and then Lee on the other.
Maybe.
I can see that.
Like, yeah. That Ritchie, I think we already see is going to be a Barzell-esque stat line where it's going to be a lot of assists. And he'll score some goals, but I don't expect a ton of goals. So you're really going to have to put some scoring with him. So
yeah.
I could see just, like, put him with a Drouin type or a Shabanov type that could really drive play. And then have that net front like Lee just to bang in some garbage when they need.
Next question is from I'm Dan the Man. Why did I just sit through this shootout loss? You sat through it, my friend, because we are sick in the head and don't miss one of these stupid games.
I can't do it.
I believe. Good for Dan. Just about every game he goes to.
In uniform, too. Hey, Lupo, 8897. Will the Islanders win a game in the shootout?
No, they won't.
They'll luck into one.
So what they need is to have Holmstrom shoot first. Tonight it didn't go in, but I don't care. The percentage.
It was an awful attempt. Just, like, let's be real.
Well, he's got his move, and he can't always make that move.
You know? You can, though. You can. He's like over 40% in the shootout. Like, this is like Franz Nielsen. Like, everyone knows you're going forehand, backhand, forehand, backhand, top corner, Franz. Like, just do the move.
Yeah.
The move is so good.
The move is so good, but I think he's got a half the move here and there. What does he go? He goes forehand, backhand, forehand. I think he's got to just go to the stick to the backhand a couple
times. Fine, but that was pathetic.
No, tonight's wasn't good. But
they're not going to win one until Shabanov's in the game.
Or Rittich. Rittich's in that.
Fair. Next question. Dude, why was the shootout invented and how can
Jack,
I blame?
Skip the shootout questions. This is proof that we don't screen the questions before we hop on the air.
Yeah, it's a live read. Why can't Palmieri score a goal?
Well, the open net's a problem for that man right now.
He's thinking of all the pictures on Rocco's Twitter page.
No, it's because Kyle Palmieri is 35 years old, and when you get older and older, Jack, you'll learn this just like Rocco and I have. Your hand-eye coordination gets slower, your hand speed gets slower, and it becomes harder and harder to put the puck in the net. It's because he's old.
I'm still quick on the counter, pal, but anyway.
Whatever.
Will the Islanders have a shutout this season? How many, if any?
Did they have one yet? No.
No. They'll luck into one or two. One?
Oh, they got
I don't think they'll have any.
They'll have. Two.
That'd be a fun bet.
It would. Ugh. Find another person to bet with on that one. I'm done with you.
Something, or I'm going crazy.
No, because Ilya's given up.
I thought Rittich won one.
No, he's given up 2-2, and then the Carolina game, and then Ilya's given up at least 3 in every single start. So,
here's a question. Agolette, when do we start having the Tony D'Angelo conversation, especially with what we saw from Warren? Gillette, I just can't get there, man.
Gillette,
I think
Gillette.
Gillette, like the razor.
I'm sorry, bro. I apologize for not reading your name correctly. Hey, Gillette, Anthony Gillette. So I can't get there, Gillette.
Like, what was his question? I was thrown off by the pronunciation.
He said, when's it time to have the D'Angelo discussion? Get him off the team, pretty much.
Deadline.
Deadline. Now, but it has to be the deadline.
It's deadline.
SP, realistic targets for right-handed defensemen to pair with Schaefer, because seeing him slave away with Mayfield's depressing.
Verhoeff.
No. Good point on Verhoeff. I was talking to our boy Euroscout about this. If you use a high leverage draft pick on a guy like Verhoeff after already having Schaefer, it kind of limits him, because Schaefer's taking all the power play time. Schaefer's the number one guy. Would they be a great pair? Yes, but he's got to be that much better than the forwards you're potentially picking, because he's automatically PP2. You know, he's automatically the second guy in command. So as much as we like Verhoeff, I mean, I would take some of the forwards over him, to be quite honest. That might sound crazy in a couple months, but I like a lot of the forwards in the draft. But realistic right side guys, it's hard to say.
I don't think they exist, man.
Brant Clark is like, I love that guy.
There's been a lot of Brant Clark chatter.
Yeah, I think Brant Clark could be had in a trade, but I think it will be for a player of a caliber we're not really willing to offer. I think it's going to – like Brant Clark in a make-sense scenario, like maybe for like a Kadri, right? Like that type of guy that has term left. I don't see them moving a Brant Clark for a Lee or a Pageau, so – another guy, Nemec, however you say his name, but I don't see Jersey sending them this way. So I think they're just going to have to, you know, do their scouting and find an under-the-radar guy that maybe just needs a change of scenery.
Yeah.
Next question was from Data Dom. Among Mayfield, Pulak, and Romanov, who has the best chance of playing out their entire term with the Islanders? Romanov has already been reduced to a third-pairing role 13 games into an 8-year contract with a period at the end. I could tell Dom is so fucking pissed off.
You want to hear something crazy? I think it's Mayfield.
Who has the – sorry, it was Mayfield, Romanov, and who?
Contract. Mayfield, Pulak, Romanov.
Finish the contract?
Like, finish their current contract.
Scotty, for sure.
Scotty, right?
Scotty's going to ride Schaefer's coattails to the very end.
One through three, Ethan. I go Scotty.
Scotty, Pulak, and then Romanov.
Oh, Romanov, sorry. Scotty.
Oh, sorry. Most likely. Oh, God.
Scotty's one. Scotty's going to finish his deal here, I think.
Yeah.
Then Pulak, because he's tough to move because of the no trade. And there's so much time left on Romanov, I just think.
Yeah, I agree with you. Gibbs. Agreed.
Chris G. Isles lost.
Hold up. What about you didn't answer?
I kind of agreed with the Mayfield part, but I was just going to really add in, we're out on Romanov, man. Holy shit. Like, big we're out. Like 13 games into it. It's just crazy.
Maybe we're the reverse mushes, because we were all over Sorokin and now he's playing better. So,
you know what? I'm actually not going to use Mayfield because I think he'll be traded. I'm going to go with Pulak.
Okay.
I think Mayfield will actually get traded within the next year or two. He doesn't fit the system. Schaefer will be able to fly on his own. He probably already can fly on his own. He could probably do it himself with four forwards or three forwards. So I don't think Mayfield they could actually get something for. He's looked pretty he's looked decent given his expectations. Isles lost the Olympic standoff. This is from Chris G. Instead of Governor Hochul rigging the lottery for the Isles, can she lobby Bettman to ban the shootout? I'm sorry, guys. At least we got a serious question. At least we got one serious question. Who should and who will come out when Shabanov returns?
McLean.
Yeah, McLean.
Yeah, definitely Kyle McLean. Sloppy Tuna. Question for Rocco. How do you go about evaluating prospects? Are you watching games or highlights? I started listening to Called Up after you mentioned it a while back. Are there any other media folks you think offer good coverage?
This is a Rocco question.
Yes. I mean, I watch a lot of clips on YouTube. I don't pay for them, but if you want to pay for certain systems or whatever else, you could get extra highlights where they ISO each player's highlights of throughout their games. There's so many things you can do, but when you just want to like start watching guys, I would just go through top prospects. Like if you want to get into the 26 draft, I would just go through the top guys, start YouTubing them, get used to where they play, as in not just positionally, for what team, what league, how to evaluate their numbers in said league, and then just follow their games. Even if you can't get a ton of clips, just try to, you know, get their numbers, see how they're playing, see how consistent they are and what they do in their minutes. So at first, it's definitely really hard, especially with the European guys, because it's hard to track down clips. It's hard to understand. Like, a guy like Ethan says, oh, Eklund's not doing anything out in Sweden, but realistically, he's playing fourth line minutes, and that's why he doesn't score many goals. So there's just a lot of nuances to it, but you'd have to study a little bit, and it's just a really fun thing to follow and observe and kind of make your own ranking. So
it's kind of crazy. Some of these people, like in just like hockey fans, are just literally dedicated to prospects, and they have all of these extra highlights. If you do like a thorough YouTube search on it, it's pretty crazy. Got to respect it. Like, I love watching at the pro level, but man, I got to be honest. Like, you won't be watching me watching a KHL game or
flow hockey. That's where, to be honest, that's the new thing where you could watch a ton of games. I know, pretty sure our boy KB has that. Like, you can sign up for a subscription and you get all sorts of leagues where you could watch the games, watch the highlights, whatever. So that would definitely help and I think be somewhat affordable.
Do you enjoy – I can't believe I'm adding on to this question. Do you enjoy juniors or other professional leagues or college the most? I personally think you can get me to watch a college game. I think that would be the easiest.
So I love the college game, and the reason being because it's just the most like the NHL. Like, I see it as like a lesser NHL because they play a North American style. There's a lot of big bodies in the league. It's tough with the European leagues because they have the wider ice. They don't really hit that much. So it's hard to project a guy, you know, orbiting the zone 100 times in Europe, where in the NCAA or the NHL, that's not going to fly. Because you get a lot of these
popped.
Yeah. Like, you get a lot of these guys that you look at and you evaluate, and we're like, wow, they can't touch this guy. This guy could skate like the wind. Like, they can't even get a hold of him. And then you realize he's playing on a bigger surface. So it is tough with the European guys, but, you know, they have that little bit of high upside when you draft a guy like that. Sometimes they fall because of that. You know, the David Pasternak's, a lot of the Russian guys fall. So that's the fun part about tracking the European guys as well. But as far as after the NHL, by far NCAA. And I love that the big time guys in the draft are headed there for the most part.
Yeah. So we can move on to the next question from Mustachio. Are we ready to have the Bo Horvat 50-goal season conversation? I wish we did talk about that more, but here we go. He's on pace for 56. Before the season, like, one of the reasons I thought that this is a playoff team is because of guys like Horvat and Barzal and, of course, the Schaefer, he's not a loser comment. Like, these guys are not wired to just sit here and pack it in when things are turned against them. And, like, I'm happy for these guys that this season has, like, they have a winning record for NHL standards. And Horvat's just leading the way. He's playing so well defensively. This guy, I think you might have tweeted it during the game. He's making a case to make the Olympics roster for Team Canada. He just looks like an all-world first-line center right now, and it's honestly so enjoyable to watch, and I'm really happy for him because it's just – this is a tough place to find your goal-scoring prowess, and he's just been incredible.
He's just a player, man, and I really believe that with Canada. At the end of the day, do I think he's making the team? No. But why I think he has a shot is because he can really play anywhere in your forward group on a team like that.
Yeah.
Play first line, he could play fourth line, he could play center, he could play wing, he could play anywhere. And he's the type of guy too, like, when you look at a roster like Canada's, it's just loaded with skill and talent. And they need a little more sandpaper type guy. So I think he's a nice blend of that, where he still has a ton of skill, but he can play those tough minutes as well, maybe kill a couple penalties for them. So I don't think he's going to make it, but certainly in the conversation at this point. And as far as his goal total, is it fair? I think it's fair to think this could be a 40. I mean, 50 is crazy, but I think he could close in on 40 this year.
The way they're playing,
being 40.
Keep in mind, there's always going to be the cold streak.
There's also, like, there's a lot of variables about this season in particular that might really break his way. Like, on the other hand, if he doesn't play with Team Canada, like, he's going to get a couple weeks off with the rest of this Islanders roster. And the way they're playing, with the puck moving and the power play looking better,
yep,
it's just, it might not stop. And some of the goals going in that he's shooting, I mean, it the third one tonight, it was, that was eye opening. It's like, all right, this guy is feeling it right now.
Ripping.
Shooter. Such a good shooter.
Yeah.
By far the best shooter we have.
Yeah.
Easily.
They he wants to win, and it shows. So 56 goals he's on pace for. That is crazy. It's November 4th, so can't get too excited about that, but it seems like 40 is definitely within range. Ryan JW 413, thoughts on Richie so far? What do you see as his upside? We kind of went over that.
2C. 2C upside.
Yeah, I think we all think 2C, but that could change if the kid comes off and starts ripping it like crazy the way Schaefer is, we'll be happy to say he could be a 1C.
I just think the one thing he lacks a little bit is the speed, and I think that holds
him in
the 1C.
Agreed.
2C, I think, is his perfect role. 2C on a good team.
The Bry Man, what do we do with Palmieri? I'm tired of him missing grade A chances. I feel like we're a little bit hard on Kyle Palmieri. He has 10 points in 13 games. I think we're a little hard on the guy. I think he's been fine. I do think he needs to score more, but I think he's also, I think we've seen this before where it's coming. He's going to eventually hit his stride and he's going to start putting the puck in the net. I predicted 30 goals before the season and I'm not backing away from it. I still think it's very attainable.
So he's got 4 goals through 11 games, and he did not have one tonight. So it'd be 4 through 12, which would, let me get my handy dandy calculator. Hold on.
It's by like 6.5.
Mm-hmm. So he's on a 27 goal pace
through. Sorry, we just need a hat
12
trick.
Games.
He's always going to put up his fair share.
It's just when did they move Barzal?
When?
Yeah.
Richie came in.
So for the Washington game.
Oh, no. Richie played his first game on the wing.
Right.
I think he might have juggled the lines in that game, though.
He did, yeah. He finished at center. So, all right. We'll see how he does without Barzal long term.
We'll see. What's Josh Elkin? What do the lines look like when Yabanov comes back? And does it force a trade? I think Siplikov will probably be moved. Yabanov, I think, goes right next to Pajot again. I think they're going to try to work him back up to speed, but eventually with the intentions of moving him up top, I think they'll move Lee into the top six maybe. It's a tough question. This is a hard thing.
A lot of moving pieces here. I can't say definitively.
Well, first line stays, right? Let's just say that right off the bat. Barzal, Horvat, Heinemann. Second line, Richie's the center. We do Drouin and, I don't know, what did we say before? Like a Drouin and Lee type thing? A play driver and a scorer. So you could do like Drouin or Shabanov on one line and then a Palmieri or Lee type on the other side. And then I think the tough part and who gets bumped when this all, like, less minutes, less scoring opportunity. I think Duclair is going to kind of go to the fourth line once this all happens, right?
Well, he's already on the fourth line.
But I'm saying like buried on the fourth line, like just not getting reps.
I don't know. They're going to have to do some Fakakta rotation. I don't know. It's going to be bizarre.
Quick shout out for Duclair, though. Tonight was my favorite game of his in an Islanders uniform. He scores a goal. And like when Zadorov like did that dirty play on Schaefer, like he just like
he jumps was in there. In.
Yeah. He's just jumping. You can tell the guy's so over his head in that situation.
Let me tell you, though, the team as a whole just getting in there with zero hesitation.
That's why they don't need a goon.
Fires me up, though. I love that shit. Like zero. Like remember when Tage got laid out last year?
No one did shit.
Not one guy in Buffalo came in. The fact that Schaefer, every time someone sniffs Schaefer, they're just after that guy. And Zadorov is a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Like Duclair, if I'm Duclair, I'm like grabbing him and like praying to God another 3 guys are coming to back me up. Because there's no one that could take Zadorov.
Pajot put someone in the stunner. Headlock.
Pajot's tough for his size.
He is.
Director of player development.
Ryan Boyle. Remember that? Yeah. Legendary.
Yeah.
That was legendary. That might be the most iconic 10 seconds of his Islanders career.
All right, next.
That might be it.
We're done.
Yeah, that one more fun question from Gillette. When do we start thanking Cutter Gauthier for getting himself out of the Metro?
Hey, thank you, Cutter. And thanks, you, Cutter, for fixing Gillette's name.
Yep. All right. That'll do it for us. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the Patreon. Check out the store for the merch. Shout out the Rust and Gold sponsorship. Talk to you guys soon.
Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around. Ayo's house, in the middle of our street. Ayo's house.